Praise the Lord, brothers and sisters. As I begin sharing God's word, I'd like to say this prayer on behalf of all of us that are listening. Merciful God, anoint us with your Holy Spirit, that as we listen to your word, may we hear your voice speak to us from within. Give us the wisdom to understand your word. Let your word be the joy of my heart and a light to my feet. Give me the strength to build my life upon your word. May I rejoice in the blessedness of hearing your word and keeping it. Speak, Lord, your servants listening. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. I'm reading from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 12, verses 46 to 50. While he was still speaking to the crowds, his mother and his brother were standing outside, wanting to speak to him. Someone told him, "Look, your mother and your brothers are standing outside, wanting to speak to you." But to the one who had told him, this is what Jesus replied, "Who is my mother and who are my brothers?" And he said, "Here are my mother and my brothers. For whoever does the will of the Father in heaven is my mother and my sister and my brother." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Today, when you listen to this teaching, I begin with, you know, the Gospel of Matthew. It is said that it's called the true kindred of Jesus, rather the family of Jesus, or the family that each one of us belongs to. And when we talk of family, it makes us feel very special. I assure you that people who have families definitely feel very happy to have a family and to belong to that family. But above all, it is belonging to the family of Jesus. And for that, there is a criteria which you get in all the three synoptic gospels. You get it, as I read from Matthew chapter 12, verses 46 to 50. Then you get it in Mark's gospel, chapter 3, verses 31 to 35. And Luke's gospel, chapter 8, 19 to 21. Now, you know, normally when you read these gospels and you read this text, there's always a debate about the perpetual virginity of Mary. Jesus had other brothers and sisters, but the Catholic teaching is correct that Jesus was the only child given by the Father. But now you would say, but here the text very clearly mentions brothers. You know, my dear sisters and brothers, in the original language, that is in Hebrew, that it has no vowels like we have O-A-E-I-O-U. There is only consonants. All the words are only consonants. So they don't have a word for cousin. So that's why everybody is addressed as brother or sister. But our point is here not to know what the background to this text, but what it's speaking to me today. The criteria is in the Gospel of Matthew chapter 13, verse 50, which says, "Only the ones who do the will of my Father," that is even above blood relationship, the doing God's will is very, very important. Jesus' teaching challenges us today. It was a revolution in his time. Even today, it's a revolution today. But it brought in revival. You know, every time, if you're today sitting, I can see over 200 people listening to God's word. It's because there was a revival in your heart which brought in reformation. I look at my own life prior to 2 decades ago, it was just a normal Sunday Catholic with absolutely no reformation, no transformation in my life. But the minute Jesus comes into your life, there are so many challenges that we meet. And knowing and doing God's will is the most important. And that call is a life of obedience. The first thing, when you think of obedience, the first thing you must remember, it is not for anybody, it's for all those who follow the way. So first thing, it is a call. When you know it's a call, it also becomes an act of worship. You know, then as it becomes an act of worship, obedience has its rewards. Because it proves that you love the one who has called you. And it is better than sacrifice. You know, sometimes we do everything and we say, I'm doing so much, but God is not listening to what I'm saying. Can you sit and reflect today and find out what is God's will for you? Because maybe that so much is not his call for you. Sometimes, you know, we all become Martha. We want to do so much. But God must be asking you today, become Mary. You know, as I was reflecting on the life of Saint Ignatius, because I belong to a Jesuit parish, and on the 31st, we will celebrate his feast. And at that time, I was thinking, this man was a man full of pride, full of who won many battles, but finally was struck down with a battle against the French. And when he was struck down, his leg was broken. And after it healed, he realized there was a bone sticking out. And so he wanted them to break it again. And, you know, so much of vanity. But during the time of getting better, that he was given the lives of saints. And that was his conversion experience, that he decides to give up everything, his sword, his armor, everything, and do what God wants him. He starts going to a hospital, works there, then taking care. Then he's inspired by the Lord to, for priesthood. But he had not studied Latin in those days. People had to study Latin to understand. And you would believe he joined a class in Barcelona. He was 33 years of age, and he went into a class with all 10-year-olds. I mean, so sometimes when I think of it, it's humiliating for a person. And so when he thought he was, he has come there to teach. And then he says, no, I've come to study. But to cut the long story short, he got educated, then went later to Paris, where he met Peter Faber and St. Francis Xavier. But ultimately, doing God's will, if you see, when you do God's will, it is 500 years, and the Jesuits are very much involved in, of course, taking care of the poor, but education for the greater glory of God. Because when Jesus comes into our life, Jesus changed history, okay? He changes your character. Your character cannot be the same. You might be very frivolous before you meet the Lord, but once you have an encounter, your character changes, your moral value changes, your thinking changes, your living changes. And above all, what Christ did for us is he died for us. He saved us from our sin. He saved us from hell, and he saved us from death. I'm not talking about physical death. Today, many, because of the virus that is happening around, we have lost so many beautiful people. I'm talking about the death that will take us to our eternal home. My dear sisters and brothers that are listening to me, every teaching of Jesus is true even today. It's not only true 2,000 years ago, it's true even today. So when Jesus' teaching comes into our life, the priority for each one of us is to know and do God's will. Because without knowing and doing God's will, we are not friends with Jesus. I like to quote William Barclay, because as I was studying the commentary, true love is founded on a certain principle, and without love, friendship cannot exist. You know, when you will start doing, like most of us, we have friends, earthly friends, and we want to please those earthly friends. So sometimes whatever they tell us, we want to do. But all of us that are listening today are friends with Jesus. And without love, friendship cannot exist. And so friendship is formed on a common deal, on an experience which draws memories from it. And true love is founded on obedience. If you read Philippians chapter 2, verse 5, it's very difficult to read every text because of the constraint of time. But when you have time, Jesus learned obedience on the cross. And true love demands sacrifice. And Jesus tells us in John chapter 15, verse 14, that you are my friends if you do what I command you. To each one, it is different. What is God calling you today? You are my friends if you do what I command you. Because there's a big buffet spread in front of us. Now, I know many of you may have not had your dinner. And you might say, oh, Anastasia is telling me that I'm so hungry. And there is plenty to eat at a buffet table. But we have to make the right choice. Similar in life, besides God's word, we have another manual that instructs us. That is the secular world. And we have such a lot to see and such a lot. But just like the buffet table, I cannot dunk my plate with everything that is, all the fried stuff that is at the buffet table, or maybe all the stuff that is there. But I will try, if I'm today thinking about health, I will make wise choices. I will pick up probably salads. I will pick up maybe things that are less oily. And so I'm taking care of my physical health. But today when I love Jesus, I have to take care of my mental, physical and spiritual health. It's very important. You know, the way we live our life, I know many people say heaven and hell is here. Sorry, the catechism of the Catholic Church will tell you that the way you live your life here will determine whether you will go to heaven or hell. So today, like that buffet, we need to make wise choices. And so when we go to the next slide, when I'm telling you about this, I ask you in a very special way to reflect on what is it that God is asking you today. Because every disciple becomes a friend. Every disciple becomes a friend of Jesus. Jesus says in the word, I no longer call you servants, but I call you friends. I'll share with you the only way, you know, I know in Bombay, we have this word called time pass. So how much time pass do you do with Jesus? My dear friends, you know, all of you want to have a good relationship with Jesus. If you can spend hours on your Netflix, hours on your phone, you can definitely spend hours with Jesus. And the best place to start is in the morning. I encourage you. I know many people say, I'm not a morning person. You're not a morning person because probably you have slept at 12, 1, 1:32. But I assure you, if you can, at least 6 in the morning. I know for you, some of you, I've realized, you know, in a couple of years when I met the Lord, of course, even today sometimes it is, but it's not regular. I used to wake up at 3 in the morning, and I know those 5 to 7 years were the best years of my life. Today, of course, it's 4 and a little later, but I still struggle sometimes. It's not that every day I want to wake up and jump out. No, but I know that when I sit with my friend Jesus, life definitely becomes better. So there is a hallmark of a disciple. Now, I can ask you, but right now, because we can put it on chat, but who's a disciple? One who follows the master. So first thing is, a disciple is called to love. If you say, I love Jesus, then automatically obedience follows. And if you obey, it becomes a part of sacrifice. Like I was just reading, as I said, I was reading the life of Saint Ignatius, and I've been reading a life of a couple of saints in the last, I used to do it a long time ago, but I've started over again. And as I was seeing every disciple of Jesus, whether it's Saint Ignatius or one from the present year, learns obedience and love through sacrifice. You know, I was reading about a Vietnamese bishop. They have given me, some years ago, I was called to take the Delhi Diocese priest retreat. And when I was leaving back, the Archbishop of Delhi gave me a book with his name and said, thank you. And I didn't open that because I never had time. But recently I started reading that life of that bishop. And the biggest thing about that bishop was that he was in quarantine. He was put in prison for 13 years. He was just a newly ordained bishop and he was put. And he says, when I went in, I was so lost. I felt so bad. My own people, I couldn't serve. But he says, when I started learning that God is in this, everything works out for the good of those who love God, they say, right? So every time he said, God gave me an opportunity to love. And those jailers or whoever was in charge, so what they started doing, whoever went to him, their lives were transformed. Okay. And so they said, Arey, we will not keep this guy inside because he's spoiling the whole force. So they put him on an island. But there too, he had an opportunity to witness. But 13 years later, when he came out of that prison to a life of freedom, John Paul II called him to take the priest retreat. I will show you, it's called, the book is called Testimony of Hope. If you get it, please read it. It's a beautiful book on discipleship. Because then you will realize, like today we feel this pandemic, I'm sacrificing, I'm doing. But maybe the sacrifice is for the glory of God. And it is for a particular reason. So I'd like to, there are many texts that I can talk of. If we talk of love, 1 Corinthians chapter 13 verses 4 to 8. It's a favorite text that is normally taken at weddings. It says, if you love, it says, love is patient, love is kind. It does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud. It is not rude, it is not self-seeking, it is not easily angered, and it keeps no records of wrong. If you are keeping a, you know, like people say, checklist, if you are keeping a tab that at so-and-so time, so-and-so day, you have spoken so-and-so thing about me, my dear sisters and brothers that are listening, please take a stock check. Because love does not delight in evil, but rejoices in the truth. It always protects, it always trusts, it always hopes, and it always perseveres. Love never fails. If you love the Lord and if you love the people around you, it will not fail. Because God's love convicts us of three things. It calls us to believe, it calls us to hope, and it calls us to persevere. I'll repeat again. Because God's love convicts us of three things. It calls us to believe, it calls us to hope, and it calls us to persevere. And love without sacrifice is not love. So all of us that are sitting, you know, the cross is the best symbol. Of course, at my rear end, you see the resurrection. But the cross is the best symbol of what God has done for us. So when Jesus says, only the ones who do the will of my Father are my brothers and sisters. Today, when I sit back, can I ask? Because love is the hallmark of the family of Jesus, and obedience is the outcome of those who walk in love. I'll repeat again. Love is the hallmark of the family of Jesus, and obedience is the outcome of those who walk in love. Everyone who has probably given up something to serve the Lord will tell you this. If it was only an act that came because, you know, it was a momentary act, my dear brothers and sisters, it cannot survive. If you're doing it, like, you know, some of us have children and we say, okay, once they get married, my responsibility is over. Or, you know, once my kids finish their education, my responsibility. Our education or our responsibility as a family never ceases. If it's your children or it's your nieces or anyone in the family or your parents, it doesn't cease. It will always continue. It's just like the Father's love for us. The Father never tells us that as soon as you start walking and you've done everything right, I have forgot, you know, my responsibility is over. So love is the hallmark of every family of Jesus. And obedience is the outcome of those who walk in love. Today, if some family member, I'm talking to whoever is listening to me today, if some family member has offended you, spoken against you, maybe you may not be able to approach that family member right away. But that is a call for you today to ask the Lord to give you strength. And ask the Lord today night, the healing service, mostly we ask for physical healing. Rarely we ask for emotional healings or mental healing, where you have been going through this trauma of remembering every incident that was spoken about you. Ask the Lord to help you. I'll share with you, John chapter 2 verse 5 is what, if you're listening, you do whatever God tells you. Mary is telling us, or telling the, you know, those servants, do whatever he tells you. So whatever God is asking you to do, do not question. Do not argue. Do not ask him. You know, sometimes we say, oh, if you give me a sign, I will do this. Then it will be like Jonah in the belly of the fish. Don't ask him for any sign. Just do whatever he tells you. If he's convicting you of something today, please do it, because that is what he is required of you. Two things I will leave you with. Two things, only two things. That is, first thing, persevere. You're not alone. Don't give up. You know, sometimes you say, I keep doing good, I keep doing, but yet I'm never appreciated. Don't give up. Because we do not want to belong to any family. We want to belong to the family of Jesus. And also when you say, how can I do this? I put the word Emmanuel. Emmanuel means God with us. On your own physical strength, you can't do it. But with God, all things are possible. I'll give you the word that I keep saying, Philippians chapter 4, verse 13, it says, I can do all things in Christ who strengthens me. I can do all things in Christ who strengthens me. There are times when you may not feel like doing something to a person who has ill-treated you, a person who has spoken badly about you. Sometimes you don't even want to pray for them. Rightly, in our human flesh, it doesn't happen. But in the spirit realm, it will happen. So God with us. We are not doing this alone. And communicate, I'm repeating, communicate to the Father daily in prayer. Daily, do not spend a day. I'm sharing with you out of great love. Please do not think that watching one service after the other will help you build a relationship. A relationship requires time. And if there is no investment of time, you cannot build this relationship. Now, I know sometimes because of this online thing, we have access to so many places for worship. But I request you, I'm not saying you must do it, but I request you to spend some hours without a gadget. Maybe even take the word of God, but spend some hours before the Lord. I was reading, as I said, I've been reading the life of Saint Ignatius, and I was reading 4, 5, 7 hours. I know many other persons who are, even today, they spend about 2 to 3 hours minimum in prayer on an everyday basis. And it has helped them a great deal. Even at your home, you can't have a good relationship with your wife or your children if you have not put any investment with the Father. So you need to sit and communicate to the Father daily in prayer. And once you communicate with the Father daily in prayer, just like Jesus did, read the Gospel of Mark 1:35. Very early in the morning, he went. You read several, he came back from a mission, he went in prayer. You and I, we want to belong to the Father. And the only way to know and do God's will is sitting with the Father. There will be a difficulty sometimes. There will be a strain sometimes when you have to sit with the Father. But there are only two things that the Lord asks of a disciple or to belong to the family of Jesus. Is total openness, total generosity. Total openness, total generosity. If you have these two qualities, you are welcome into the family of Jesus. I conclude by taking this prayer. I know all of you are muted, but I put it on the slide. And you can pray with me. Lord, teach me to be generous. Teach me to serve as you deserve. To give and not count the cost. To fight and not heed to the wounds. To toil and not seek for rest. To labor and not ask for reward, and save that knowing that I do your will. You can, it's a prayer made by Saint Ignatius, but it's a beautiful prayer. Lord, teach me to be generous. Teach me to serve as you deserve, and to give and not count the cost. Whatever you're doing for the Lord, do it without counting the cost, because he paid a price for you. And I assure you, you will be welcome in the presence of the Lord and welcome in the family of Jesus by knowing and doing God's will. Amen.